Many of us celebrate this weekend with mixed feelings. We're grateful to be citizens of one of the greatest nations of all time. We're also deeply concerned about the direction that our nation is taking. Chief on our minds these days is that the U.S. Supreme Court has brought a direct denial of biblical truth, and they've taken the position that they know better than God how to define marriage. Robert Jeffries over at First Baptist Dallas had this to say about the Supreme Court decision. It represents a collective shaking of our fist in God's face, saying, "We don't care what you say about life's most important relationship. We know best." But Jeffries also reminds us that while their decision is tragic, it is ultimately irrelevant. Regardless of what the Supreme Court justices declare, the judge of all the universe has already issued his decision. Marriage is reserved for one man and one woman. And there's no appeal to that verdict. What do we do as a Christian in this nation? I want to encourage you this morning because I think we need some encouragement. How do we turn America's heart back to God? Let me share four things with you this morning. The first one is, don't panic. God is still on his throne. The church often thrives when it's placed in sharp contrast to the culture around it. In the first century, the church faced the cultures of Ephesus, Corinth, and Athens. Terrible cultures, yet they turned their worlds upside down. Secondly, show this culture what a biblical marriage looks like. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his church, his love for us and our love for him. Show the world a beautiful example of a good and loving marriage and family. You don't have that example now? You got to work at it. Work at it diligently and consistently and faithfully. Thirdly, pray. Love everyone and engage all with the gospel. There's a lot of people that are just disillusioned with life. They're looking for fulfillment, they're looking for purpose, and they're looking in the wrong places. Our job is not to condemn. Without Jesus, we are already condemned. Our job is not to condone the religious choices of those around us and the rebellious choices of those around us. Our job is to speak the truth in love. God is totally big enough to handle any rebel and any rebellious act, whether it's in the courtroom or on the street. Continually exalt the Lord and lift him high for all to hear. As we consider how to turn America's heart back to God, it all begins with how we view him. Consider what Paul has penned for us in Romans 11, verse 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Here is a doxology in Romans 11, or a hymn of praise, that exalts the mind of God. How much does God understand? It's immeasurable. He knows everything about what was and is and will be. The U.S. Supreme Court did not catch him by surprise, nor has any court or ruler throughout history, nor will anyone or anything ever do so. He knows every event on the macro level, on Earth, in our atmosphere, into the furthest reaches of space. He knows every event on the micro level, every molecule, every atom, electron, proton, neutron, every nanosecond. He knows every event in the human mind and will, every thought, every choice, every feeling. As he applies his knowledge and wisdom, anything and everything he does is inscrutable. And his word is a word picture of a bloodhound that's unable to follow the scent. What God does escapes our complete understanding. Why? Because He's God and we are not. In light of how great God is, Paul here asks three questions. Who can completely comprehend the mind and purposes of God? The intended answer is nobody. We think we're so smart. We ponder the nature of the universe and we think we know how it all started. We're talking about a created being trying to understand the mind of his or her creation. That's ridiculous. Oh, we can know some things about God, but knowing all there is to know regarding him is like trying to empty an ocean with a spoon. You ever tried that one? The second question Paul asks here, who can give God advice? The intended answer is nobody. Oh, we sometimes think we know better than tries.
We try.
Really, all we can do is just bow down and worship him. Even when you don't understand what's happening around you, can I encourage you today to say you can trust him. The third question is this. Who can cause God to be indebted to him? The implied answer, the intended answer is nobody. The idea here is of an exchange of a gift. But God owes no one anything. There's nothing we could ever do to impress him. Nothing we could ever do to bribe him. What he does out of his own decisions and his own purposes and his own plans. What has he chosen to do? First, he's chosen to save us. Wow. God has chosen to love us and to save us. Secondly, he's chosen to place us in one of the greatest countries the world has ever known. What a privilege it is to live as a citizen of this nation. Then the hymn of praise closes with two very large statements. The first is this: the Lord is the source and channel and final goal of all things. Moffat says, all things come from him, all lives by him, and all ends in him. If God took his little finger off this world of ours for one split second, it would self-destruct immediately. But Colossians 1:17 reminds us that he is the glue that holds all things together. Second statement is this: he always gets glory. Everything that exists is to contribute to his glory. The Hebrew word for glory here means weight or heaviness or greatness. It points toward whatever it is to have that greatness. In this case, whoever is to have that greatness, it's God. Does God not know what he's doing? Are his plans being ruined by men and women in robes in Washington, D.C.? No. No, not at all. When we do not allow him to rule, listen, he overrules. Are you facing circumstances right now that seem bound to defeat you? I want to encourage you this morning and remind you that God is still in control and he loves you and wants your best. The greatness of this country, the nobleness of this nation, it's not found in our celebration and our fireworks, not in our political system and laws, not in our houses or lands, not in our wealth or generosity, not even in the beautiful reminders. It is found in giving God his rightful place, the place that's due him and him only. It's found in exalting the Lord and lifting him high for all to hear and all to know. So on this weekend of independence, can we be reminded how totally dependent we are on God? Can we celebrate and know that he's still in control and we can look to him? Can we pray?